Great.
4:31, September 27th, we'll call the meeting to order. And a roll call?
Yes. Mark Stouffer Hunter, Tim Oberbrockling.
Here.
Todd McNall, Ron Moosman.
Here.
Ron Lower.
Yep.
Crystal Walter.
Here.
Diana Pagan, Arthur Kim.
Here.
Thank you.
And if we have guests, two guests, if you'd like to introduce yourself to the record.
Cindy Haddish, Save Sierra Heritage, and I do have something for the public comment.
Okay.
And Sandy Rader from the Home Center.
And you're the co-host?
Yes.
Okay, Cindy, go ahead.
It's in regard to the Coppin Courthouse. Save Sierra Heritage, we got pictures, we are promoting it. We had one person who was interested. Unfortunately, she said it's too expensive to move. We're still trying to promote that house and get it saved because we know how important it is. So we have an event this weekend and we've got promotional materials about it and hope somebody might still come forward.
Do you have a public comment? Okay, has everyone had a chance to look at the meeting minutes in the last meeting? Were there any corrections or changes? Is there a motion to pass the meeting minutes?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And that takes us to the jury presentation, subcommittee updates, Beaver Park Bridge and.
So I just wanted to give a full commission an update on the two subcommittees. So as you know, we have the Beaver Park Bridge Restoration Subcommittee. Group started for the new members, started in November of 2017. And again, looking at restoration options and fundraising for those options. So September 10th was the last meeting. And at that time, we also had more of a firm number as to what that cost was. So it's $150,000, but you know, factoring in 10% for contingency. So that number for fundraising purposes is $165,000. The city has agreed to contribute up to, was it 25? Forgetting the number now.
Correct.
25%. So we were to have a meeting on the 24th. Unfortunately, we weren't able to have that. Some people, some of the members had things come up. So one of the things I'd like to ask the members who are here is about rescheduling that. And we can all always, if Diana's not, she doesn't make it, we may want to just send out an email afterwards to see what works for rescheduling. But I thought since we were going to be here, bring it up.
I'm good with almost any of them.
Okay.
Trying to reschedule.
Great.
Are you good with Monday nights?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. Okay.
Shoot for a Monday night around 5, that would work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
You guys pick it.
Any questions on that? Now then I'll move on to the next subcommittee. Yes.
Are the minutes for those meetings and the prioritization meetings available anywhere?
So we're not doing them for, well, the prioritization, I haven't had a chance to work on those quite yet, but those will be available.
We did not, staff did not take, I mean, we had some notes related to actions that we needed to follow up on, but we didn't take minutes like we do here.
Okay.
I can try to take the one on there.
So the next one, this was a new subcommittee. I think we do have a new name for it, but basically property prioritization. So really looking at, there was a list that was developed a couple of years ago, I think, that was looking at properties that have some importance to the city. And we want to, you know, what can we do to protect those? And the list is important, but then also you can't do anything with a list. So what can you do with that? Is it local landmarking? Is it talking to owners? What are the strategies that can be put into place to actually, you know, preserve those. So they met on the 17th and started going over the criteria that are going to be used to help. You know, so we have a list, and staff went ahead and applied those criteria to the list, and we sent that out so the subcommittee could take a look at that and then also add to that if there were properties that just didn't, you know, just weren't thought of at the time. So we have the next meeting for that group on October 15th. I'll say, too, we gave an update to the City Council Development Committee last week, and one of the things that I know some people were there, but Councilmember Poe said local landmarking, should really be thought of when we're talking to people about saving structures or preserving structures. So another comment that was made by Councilmember Hager was park properties. So this is, you know, specifically in regards to the bridge, the Beaver Park Bridge, but are there other park-related structures that should be added to that list? So those are just two of the comments from City Council members.
Anybody have any questions on the two subcommittees?
So in theory, if we had done this 10 years ago, we might have saved the Beaver Park Bridge, or, you know, 30 years ago or something. So that's why we need proactive preservation.
That's all I had on that.
Good. Move to action items, and since we have two guests for action item 4D, demolition on the code for 520 Colburn Street, do you care if we go to that one first?
Sure, go ahead. I can bring up. Photos.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Nothing to add, other than that this would come off the hold on October 8th.
Only that, again, we're still wondering how long we should take to find an interested party. And that's really our question.
The 18th would be what, about 8 days?
October 8th would be so it's next week, Monday's the 1st, so it'd be the following.
Normally what we do is we shoot for 60. Hopefully we find stuff before that. City said they did have some interested parties, but it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a last minute person coming in that would want to move it. Of course, that would be up to you after the 60-day hold.
Right.
If you didn't want to hold it, it would be up to you to do what you want to do.
Is 60 days the 8th then?
60 days.
Okay. Yeah.
But our next meeting would be
The 11th?
Our next meeting will be the 11th. Which, I mean, we can't hold it past the 60.
No, I understand that. I guess, and this is without my director being here, so we should be here right now, but, our conversation is, it would be nice to know what our decision is yet this year. If you have someone that's interested, we would consider waiting, but if no one's interested, and I don't want to give you a date, but...
If no one comes forward before the hold, it's all back in your right to do.
No, I understand that.
If someone should come up, like in the last 3 days, but I do have to give you a fair warning, it takes a good 15 months to move this.
Yeah, and we understand that too. We just don't want to waste all this time and still find out that there's not an interested party. And so,
I would recommend holding it till the end of the 60-day, which is only 12 days.
And we're fine with that.
And then after that point, if no one's come forward, we've done our due diligence to do what we can as a committee to save it. And then we fall back to your lap to go for whatever
okay.
you want to do.
Okay.
And that work for you?
That's perfect.
Cindy, since your group is kind of taking the lead on that, does that work for you guys if we're going to have a...
Well, we're doing what we can. Like I said, there's no magic checklist that we can go through and contact people and say, can you move this? And, we know we can't. But that story's been shared more than 150 times. People are still looking at it and reading it and commenting. So there's interest, but, I wish I could say yes or no. But And we will have, like I said, we'll promote it more this weekend, too. So who knows? We just...
So after the hold expires, if someone did come up, we would be pretty much, we would help your guidance, but it's pretty much off of our
table.
But then you, like if Cindy found someone this weekend, it would be facilitated between you, the owner, and whoever to decide what you want to do. So if we're not going to take it up hold, we don't need to vote on it. We just leave it on hold. Is everyone up here sitting on hold for 8 more days, 12 more days?
Yep.
Are you okay with that?
Cindy, do you have contact information in case someone is interested this weekend?
Yes, and they've been very helpful and accommodating to people who are interested. But
And Cindy, is funding the only issue for the interested party, or is it like they want the property as far as rights go?
One who contacted, she seemed very interested, but when she found out it's going to cost a lot to move a brick house, she just couldn't do it. She said she still very much wants it saved, but it won't be.
Do you happen to know how much the cost was? Did she share that with you?
To move the Frankie house was $20,000, and just people who have been kind of the expert voices have been saying it would probably cost twice as much to move a brick house like that. Mm-hmm. So probably about $40,000.
And do we have any idea what the house is actually, you may know what the house is actually worth?
I know what we paid, but you know, I never had a place or anything.
And that $40,000 is just moving. It's not the foundation, it's not the new roof and things that it needs. So it's just one part of the bigger picture.
Did that include the trees and the wiring and all that sort of stuff that would be done? Or
probably not. Probably just the moving costs. And that was just an estimate that, like I said, a moving expert kind of weighed in on.
So in essence, it could cost triple what the house is worth to move it.
Mm. It could, but when you look at this will be gone if we don't try, then
that's going to be a real...
That's a loss to our community and our history and our culture.
Okay, well, we're going to just leave it on hold then, so...
We're still having, we thought we had this fixed, we're still having issues. I'm actually, looks like I'm not doing anything, but I was looking up the, on the assessor's page, what the assessed value is.
It's always going to be less than what if you take, I mean, it's cheaper to build a brand new house than it is to rehab an old building. But like Cindy said, when you rehab an old building, you've still got the old building.
This is public record, so I'm going to say it out loud. $28,000 was the purchase price, and the assessed value is $43,000.
Okay. So you are going to have triple. But still, you'd have a...
Yeah, we keep a piece of value in this rate.
Okay, so we're going to leave that on hold for 12 more days, and then you're free to do. And we do appreciate your work.
And Cindy. You know, if there's somebody that we think that might be interested, you know, we'll work with her, even...
Sometimes things pop up at the very last minute.
But I
do have to warn you, if that happens, it can take up to 12 to 15 months to move it. So that would be something you'd have to negotiate with your people to see if you...
Thank you.
Do we have a write-up of the background of the house, like the history behind it?
Well, I wrote up what I could, and it's on our website.
If we talk to Mark or something, if we can get something.
Mark's
why it's historic.
Tried to incorporate as much as I knew.
Excellent.
And we got pictures, like I said, they allowed us in to take pictures. Okay. So, and we're willing, we've got flooring, and it was kind of stripped by somebody they allowed to do that. It wasn't vandalized, but we've got flooring and different things that we could offer if somebody wants that and needs it.
Okay, we'll do action item number 4A, story, rehabilitation, program revisions. We tabled that at the last meeting.
Correct. Yep. So there were some questions about that, about the existing program. So Lauren is here to answer those and cover the proposed changes.
So my understanding of the last meeting, part of the reason it was tabled was there was a few questions regarding the loan portion of the program, which we're recommending to eliminate. So just some background on the current program and how the loan works. It's a 0% interest loan, and the terms are in that table there, so I don't have to kind of say it all, but that's kind of how we deal with the people or the applicants paying back the loan. And then if you go on the next slide, this is kind of the cost breakdown of the past two fiscal years in terms of grants versus loans. So you can see we gave out about, in FY17, these numbers are the actual amount we gave out. So it differs a little bit from what we promised because there were changes in, you know, how much the project actually costed or things like that. So the grants was around 25,000 and we had gave out 7 grants, and then loans were around 13,000. There were 3 loans. And then in FY18, we have promised 3 grants and 1 loan, 3 grants totaling around 11,000, and then the 1 loan is almost 1,000. And then I guess there was also some discussion about kind of overall how the program is budgeted, and so I just wanted to provide some background on that as well. In FY18, we allocated $25,000 from the community development budget and $25,000 from the consolidated central TIF budget to make a total of $50,000 for FY18. And then I also wanted to note that we did not request funding for FY19 because we had unutilized funds from FY18, so we decided we'll try to use up those funds before we ask for more money.
And that's $38,000?
Yes. And so just to review from the last meeting, kind of the major proposed revisions, we want to allow commercial properties in addition to residential properties to be allowed to apply. So this would include not only, you know, like a small business, but if a church wanted to apply, or basically we wanted to open it up to not just residential, because we know it, in the local historic district and the local landmarks, not all of them are residential. Additionally, kind of the biggest change is that we want to eliminate the loan portion of the program and give out all grants in a two-tiered system. So if the applicant is above 100% AMI, and that's income threshold, then they would receive, similar to earlier in the program, 50% of the project costs up to $5,000. If they're at or below 100% AMI, they would receive 75% of the project costs up to $7,500. And the reason we wanted to kind of do that income threshold is recognizing that there's a bit more of a burden on our lower income folks in local historic districts, and so we wanted to provide a little bit extra for them and make it easier for them to do these projects, because kind of the upfront costs can be hard for them sometimes. Additionally, we broadened the roofing eligible roofing projects. We were getting quite a few applications for roofing in the program, and we had to deny them because they didn't follow the specifics of the current program. And we thought that that was something that we should change, because if someone's priority is a roof, they should be able to address that, and then they can address some of the other more like detail things in their home. So we thought that was important. And then lastly, we clarified funding priorities. So in the case that we do get more applicants than we have funding for, we have a better idea of what applications are priorities. So like if you've received funding before, you're a lower priority than people who haven't, or things like that. So I'm happy to answer questions, but today I'm hoping we can recommend this to City Council. Then the Development Committee would see this on October 16th, and then we would take it to the October 23rd City Council meeting.
As I remember, our three main questions were: one, when it first came out, we wanted to be self-supportive, so it's kind of new, like for the loans. Mm-hmm. And are we not worried about it being self-supportive anymore?
Well,
just so we can utilize the money? I mean,
right. So currently the program isn't really self-supportive, just because it is a 0% interest loan. So, you know, we give it out and it comes back, but it's not like we're accruing any extra. And we just think we want this to be the most, we want people to actually use it and be able to use it on their homes. And if the loan portion of the program is prohibitive for people, we thought it might be better to just open it up to grants and see how that goes, and then hopefully in the next few years get funding for that program. And
I know Todd brought up the point that you would like to see it for national districts too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a chance to work on that?
Yeah, so I guess one of the things to consider with that is then you're impacting the incentive to local Landmark, which could be a really large deal.
I made the point too that they don't follow the same rules that local.
I was going to say, one of the kind of major reasons why we started the program was the kind of extra cost burden that people in the local historic district have, and so this program was created to kind of help that. And people in national districts don't have that requirement. They can and should follow the guidelines, but they're not required to, like local historic districts are. So that's kind of our reasoning behind keeping it local.
With the addition of commercial buildings, mm-hmm. Is the prioritization going to be for residential before commercial, or is there any kind of a balance between those?
I believe, did we write that in there? That was a discussion. Yeah, so in the program guidelines, number 12, we did say projects involving an owner-occupied structure, which is the owner's primary home, is
okay,
a priority.
Send it to us.
Yeah, you're good.
Thank you.
If I plan on using it, do I need to recuse myself?
No.
Okay. You would recuse if you were up for, you know, an application for
okay.
it. Yep.
That works. I think it'll definitely open it up to more people using it, for sure.
I spoke to Mark prior to the meeting to get his, and he's comfortable with it. I was comfortable with the last meeting. Does anyone have any other questions or concerns? Are we comfortable with someone making a...
I was actually comfortable with my last week, so I have motion to approve.
I would like to see the money. I don't like the fact that we've got $38,000.
Oh, yeah. We need it.
I'm also a little concerned that if this opening up does make people use it, we're going to be, whatever, we're going to be short for 2019. And I know you said the funds have already been allocated, so you can't change that, correct?
Hmm.
So when that 38 is done, we have to wait for the following year?
Yep, we'll wait. But that'll come up pretty quickly. I mean, in terms of, it's almost the end of the work season in a sense, and then
yes.
when spring comes up, we'll start this process again where people will apply. So,
we're probably okay.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, we're almost to the halfway point of FY19.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. So.
And it doesn't cause any additional burden on financially. It's just opening up more opportunity
right.
for using. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I'll make a motion that we adopt the changes.
Diana, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Action item 4B, we have a building called Nunn for certificate of appropriateness.
Yes, maybe you haven't heard of this. It's located on the southeast side.
On Nunn Street?
In the historic district.
So... for demolitions, though, we do have this first one. It's over on 512 B Avenue Northwest. And you can see that highlighted there. Accessory structure that was built in 1940. A city assessor considers it normal condition. It is not eligible for the National Register. We did have the Architectural Reconnaissance Survey of St. Patrick's neighborhood that was done in 2009, and that's where that information comes from. Some pictures of that garage.
It's just the garage, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And just really quick, are these images fine? Do I need to adjust the lights? Is it good for, okay. So again, identified as ineligible. There isn't any evidence of historic significance, and staff would recommend immediate release.
Do we know what they're doing to the property? Are they rebuilding the garage, or?
Do not know.
New garage, future plans.
Did you say that?
Yeah, it does.
I'm just going to make a comment that I did buy that on Saturday. And there was
I missed that, and I looked at
no
it.
Place to pass a car. There was cars lying down both sides of the streets, and people had to wait until you got through to get out of there. Those houses are close together. It was a small area.
You were in the alley, is that what you're talking about?
No, I was on the street.
Oh, wow.
And the street was lined both sides with cars, just a single lane down the middle.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to attempt the alley because...
Is there an alley behind us?
Yeah.
Or is it in front of the garage?
No. Yep, so you can see the garage is towards the top part of the picture.
It's the alley. It's in the alley.
Right. Does anyone have any questions in regards to demolition?
Did Mark have any comments on any big math abuse?
Mark usually cares if it's kind of architectural things, which this does not. It's a fairly simple garage. Or if it's in a district, which it's not. So just knowing I'm working with him for so long, I would say he would probably release this.
And they have to submit a new permit when they're ready to build the garage, correct?
Correct. It'd be a building permit. Yep.
I don't believe there's anything in the books where in the historical district, can we leave a parcel of land sit into?
Parcel.
To tear this down, would they have to rebuild this?
Not an accessory structure. The reverse would be true. We do not allow you to have an accessory structure, not have a primary. So if something happened to the house, you decided to demo but keep the garage, we're not going to allow that. You'd have to rebuild or demo the garage.
I motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That was 512, right?
Yes.
Next action item is C2, Blair's Ferry Elevated Water Tank, city project.
So the next three projects we're going to talk about are all from the Utilities Water Division. So this one is Blair's Ferry Road. This is now 30, well, can't see my cursor. 30 Hop is the restaurant that is just south of there. Target is to the north. West of that intersection. This was built in 1957. There is another water tower over on Glass Road that actually makes this obsolete.
It's going to be really hard to eat there. Not able to see that anymore.
And there's other things on this site if you've driven by on Mount Vernon or on Blair's Ferry Road. The intent there, you know, there's a shed. There's the intent is to make this available for repurposing for possible disposition. So there was no survey. Here is, you can kind of see where that pickup truck is. There's some things coming out of the ground to the right of there, manhole and some other structures. And then you can kind of see that shed. There's also Linn County has an early warning siren pointed right at the outdoor patio as well.
Is there water in it?
No. I mean, there might be some residual, but it's not being used. So, and you're going to see this first one repeated, but really, to better utilize the taxpayer dollars and making sure that what we do have available for maintenance is used properly. So that's a big reason for demolition. No evidence of historical significance, and we would recommend release.
Does this have any historic value? I don't know what water tanks.
Well, 1957 puts it above the 50-year mark. But
yeah.
I don't know. We've never had a water tank, but I remember, unless it's been on top of a building like.
Structures are this. It's considered a structure per Chapter 18. So this, I think, is the first that I'm aware of where we've had something that isn't a house or building, a commercial building.
Not the situations I've been in.
Just for clarification, can you define this eventual disposition for us?
Yes. So, and again, I would go, we thought we corrected this, but otherwise I would go to Google Earth to show this, but... So, if you see the pickup truck that is through the intersection there by the signal, to the right, the ground slopes up, and probably about a foot and a half on top of that is a 3-foot diameter concrete that looks like a cylinder. It's a manhole cover. There's also a hydrant to the right. And when this was originally built, Blair's Ferry Road was two lanes. So there is infrastructure underground. So what the plan is to remove what's above ground, and then when there's a future road project, ideally, remove everything that's underneath that's not needed. We always try to coordinate so we're not, utilities isn't ripping up the road after we've done an improvement project, or vice versa, where then we're ripping up pavement that utilities paid for. So so ideally then you have a lot that's clear and available to dispose of, and the city has a process for doing that with land it owns.
This sounds strange, but when you sit here and look at it, I'm pretty sure it looks like stupid, isn't it?
I've always felt bad for 30 Hop. Their nice patio looks right at that.
Are there any more questions? Do you have any motions?
Motion to approve the demolition.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
First and second, all looking, all is in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed. Doing good tonight, aren't we?
Yeah. Because Mark's not here.
Action 4C3, Wilson Avenue Booster Station, city project.
So to the right of the picture is a Fast Mart. This is the corner of Wilson, running right-left, and 6th Street running top-bottom. It was built in 1949, and there was another structure. Hard to tell going back through Google Images, but there was another structure that was removed quite some time ago, and so this was just left there. It's a cinder block building, built in 49. The lot, you can see another lot that says vacant on it, that also is city owned, so both those. There's a close up of it. So taking this, removing this, clearing it will make an impact in terms of maintenance dollars. No evidence of historical significance, and staff would recommend immediate release. And this is another one where you have a fair amount of land here where we would, the city would look at if there's, if we don't need it for something, then we would look at disposal of it. And both sites, both lots.
As in for sale, you mean?
Yeah.
Do we know what it was used before? Was it anything?
You know, I think there actually might have been. Give me a second here. I'm going to go into the hidden portion of the presentation. So there was a tank that was demolished in 97.
A water tank?
Yeah. And then that was demolished, and this was isolated. Or this was isolated before the tank was demolished, so they cut all the pipes and the connectivity to it.
So I do want to channel Mark here. Has it been surveyed, photos taken, anything like that? Inside?
I can show some photos.
Okay.
If you like.
As long as
And I did check for water tower excluded. The other two that are actual structures, there aren't any issues with someone, Mark or someone else going in and actually viewing it, taking pictures.
I spoke with Mark. The only one that on the agenda that he was concerned about is the next one.
Okay. So you can see the one on the left. 6th Street should be here, and then you've got some internal shots. And I'm forgetting the road to the north of this, but that's where the photos to the left, or to the right, I'm sorry, are looking at it from north to south.
This is beautiful from the night. I've seen all I need to see.
Are there any more questions?
A motion to demolish the really wonderful building.
Do you have a motion to approve the demolition? Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed. My next one is actually item 4. C4, River Intake and Low Roof Station City Project.
Okay, so looking at the photo, you can see highlighted there in the polygon is the low lift station, and there's kind of a couple things going on here. In the river, you can see something sticking out. That's a pipe. So up until, and I have the date in another spot, but up to a certain point, the city took its water directly from the river, and then we switched to wells. So when we were taking it out of the river, that would go through that pipe that you see in the river. There is a 20 by 25 foot, you can see it closer to the building, diameter pipe that goes into the ground, and the water would go into that and then drawn into the building, which is two stories inside, and then go into the distribution system from there. So this was built in 30. This is in Mohawk Park, so you have J Avenue on the north there. You can see the existing park pavilion to the bottom right there. It is obsolete. There are issues, and I can show some more photos here in terms of the site and hazardous that we need to mitigate. There was no survey. I'll point out, too, there are railroad tracks between J Avenue and this building. And you can see those right there.
It does have some nice architecture.
It actually matches the water plant that's up the street.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, again, I've mentioned this. I'm going to quickly bring up some other photos.
So, is it structural hazards, or is it asbestos, chemicals?
So I will show you here. Okay. Let me know if I need to dim the lights. So this is the inside of the structure. You can see there is... looking at this to the far right, the top picture, that should be the inside. If you walk out there, you're looking at the railroad tracks. There's a staircase that goes down. This water, there were some unknown pipes that burst. So the city's been heating this to prevent, we've got to, I forget the term, but structures, you need to make sure they're properly heated and cooled depending on the temperature and the season when they're vacant. To make sure that you don't have other issues develop in them. So we've been doing that this whole time. Because of the age, there were some pipes we weren't aware of that were 6-inch pipes that during a winter, it was too much, they burst. And so this water, we think it's a combination of that and quite possibly 2016 when we had that flood. So that is the water. So then that's the inside. And then another one of the hazards. So to the right, those pictures, 20 foot diameter, 25 foot deep well basin. And right now that whole area is fenced off because obviously we don't want anyone walking on that. To the left, you can see another structure there, manhole, and then that's the front of the building. You can see the stairs there.
Do you have the date of when it was idled?
Hold on just a second. So, in the 60s, we stopped taking water from the river, and it was permanently removed from service in 89. And this, the last bullet, that's when we found out that there was pipes in there, so those were disconnected promptly.
Since this does have neat architecture, and you're probably not going to want to answer this, but could that building be turned into a resource for the parks, Schaefer Park, as far as like a museum, or is the cost probably way higher than what, or could it possibly
possibly be moved up closer to the water plant, which is, because it's the same architecture built at the same time.
So the water department, being a good steward of the public funds, wants to mitigate the issues that are there just because of like the 20 by 25 foot pit there. If you want to start talking about reuse, it's not ADA compliant, so there would be costs in that. Whether or not that structure could be really used for anything else, we have a pavilion right there. So that kind of calls into questions with other needs that, you know, the city has. You know, and so I think the high priority here, the reason for demoing it is, you know, it's right by railroad tracks. Again, if you were to use that for something else, you've got to take that into consideration. And, you know, again, with the things you can see on the, even from here on the exterior, that pit, you'd have to fill in a whole lot of things to make sure, you know, that you don't have people falling in.
Well, I discussed this with Mark just to bring us up to speed. He was interested in putting a 60-day hold on this for, we probably won't meet all the other criteria that's on here. But he wants to get photo documentation.
And I did ask, because when I saw that, I was like, whoa, I'm like, is it okay for someone to get in there and take pictures? And it would be.
Do you have an idea of what it would be to just get the structure safe?
I don't, because from utility standpoint, they're looking at, again, you know, they're answering to all of Cedar Rapids, Robin, some people in the county, and using the taxpayer dollars efficiently. This, you know, keeping it is not an option for them.
Gotcha.
Do you can you tell me if the water department receives any federal funds and whether federal funds have been used in this particular?
I would have to ask.
If some federal funds have been used, then a Section 108 might apply, and members of this committee could ask for that, or members of the public could ask for that, should they find out that that might be a possibility that's demolished. So I think from a historic standpoint, we need to investigate all of the areas to see if we can save that building, rather than if the mitigation is just water inside the building and the well.
It's not, though. It's the pits.
Well, that could be fully, you know, you're going to be doing that on the Blair's Ferry project. When the water tower comes on, you're going to be filling in the pit there. So.
Not the same, but, yeah, I mean, there's always some degree of remediation. If you have a whole, you know, there's a foundation for the water tank, that would have to be addressed, obviously. It's not the same as this, you know, either the interior being two stories like that or the outside well.
But it is things that if it does qualify for a Section 108, those are the things that have to be mitigated through the Section 108 process. So,
and we can double check.
If Water Department is receiving federal funds, then it might fall under that criteria. So
and
we need to find that out.
We'll double check. I can say we're extremely, especially after the flood of 2008, diligent in terms of how we purchased a property and making sure that we're following rules that are still attached to that, even if it's decades later. Mm-hmm. So, but we can find out specifically.
Does it cause financial hardship to the city if we do put a hold on it?
It's been there for years.
Yeah, I mean, no, not for a 60-day hold.
That hasn't been used since 89.
I'm just making sure.
They're not looking to try to do demolition before the season closes on.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So, in essence, it'll be there this spring.
And I did, I was talking to someone from the water department, and actually this, they would have demoed this in 2006 or 2007, and then there were other things that came about that, you know, kind of prolonged that. So,
if you haven't seen the building, you need to drive down the road.
Yeah.
I always said it'd make. Now that I saw the inside, I take it back. But I was thinking, a cool little house.
And one of the things in talking with Mark, he questioned whether or not the 1930 date was accurate based on the architecture and the water plant. So a lot more investigation has to be done.
Well, I think after talking to Mark and our discussion now, I think a 60-day hold would be good just to get all our ducks in a row. I can't make
A motion to...
And just to be clear, what criteria?
Mark was mainly for photo documentation and research.
Criteria C.
Okay.
Plus architecture.
So the might what are the prehistory and history, is that?
I'd say through both C and D.
Okay.
It's C.
Okay, so yeah, the motion to put a 60-day hold under that it meets, it could be signify distinctive architectural characteristics of the era, so criteria C.
Okay.
And so Adam, you're gonna,
second.
He also, wait one sec, he also, I'd like to amend that too, that, and to allow for pictures to be taken.
Okay.
His own pictures.
Second.
Okay. First and a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So we'll check on the funds that were used, or if there's any, you know, how section 108 may apply to this, if it does at all, and
can you let,
we'll get back, we'll send out an email to the group.
Okay.
We might, I was just thinking too, we may want to have just a presentation on section 108 too for everyone at a future meeting.
Also on that, I know already would, but that's so old and it's got the lime cap pressed up. Can any of that be used anywhere, or do they just demolish that?
I mean, that would be something to for future discussion to find out when we, yeah. I mean, I don't think that it's worth asking, so, about whether that could be used elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe somebody wants to move it, you could put your...
Or even for our parks, because it's got a lot of the same materials that our place had in it.
I can pass that.
Just a little bit of waste.
Yep.
If it can be used, it's the crown, I don't know what you call it, the cap on the top, but if you can see the building, it's really a neat little building. Spooky, but neat. Okay, we'll move to discussion items number 5, proactive preservation.
No. Okay. We moved it. It used to be at the top of the agenda.
Right.
We have nothing.
Just, I drove by the Ely house. It looks like there are already someone inside the house, you know, removing trim and other things. So I know we haven't seen the demolition.
It was supposed to start today.
For those of you who hadn't seen the inside of the house, it was
I did talk to people from the Blair house that contacted me because they were upset about the teardown. I explained the process, our duties as HPC, the nonprofit's duties, explained how all this happens, basically to get them more interested so they can be more proactive for other houses that are behind them, because I think that neighborhood behind has been surveyed, I'm not sure.
I don't think
it has. This is the
last
building that's actually, except for my church, St. Matthew's is on the other side of the Blair House, but this is the last actually home, I believe, in that stretch from 24th Street to Prairie Drive.
I mean, the Thompson House, the one on the corner, right across from the Ely House on Thompson Drive, but yeah, I think
right.
That's...
So I tried to make those people aware of the process so they can be more involved. In this case, it's not going to work.
And just as a, I guess, to add on to that, so the general contractor for that project spent a lot of time trying to move it. So he actually met with someone who's related to the Thompson of Thompson Court or Thompson Street. They own the large house on the corner, and they have a vacant lot right by it, so it would be a very short move. He met twice with them and tried to convince her to sell that parcel to him. Even did mock-ups so she could look and see like a photorealistic image of the house on the lot next to her, and just couldn't convince her. He also looked at, you know, other vacant lots nearby. So although it may not have gotten any press, he did a lot of checking on, you know, where he could move it and things like that. So just wanted to add that.
Also, at the last Friends meeting this week, there was city personnel there that were invited to the meeting, and we tried to set some things straight as far as some of the things that you talked about, Ron, as far as the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing, that this could have got lost in the shuffle because no one really knew. And Jennifer clarified a lot of stuff to us. We also brought up, you know, that make more sense. I also brought up Green's going to. It was a good discussion meeting as far as that we can bring back to this meeting as far as, well, for instance, the new city council not really knowing what, because I've heard several times from several sources that the new city council doesn't really know what HPC, Friends, and Safe Sierra does. They kind of have us lumped all into one, you know, and you start throwing out the word preservation, it's like tree huggers, it gets kind of a bad. So it was a good meeting in the sense of her taking it back to city council to try to open the door for Safe Sierra, Friends, and for this to help us be more proactive. This house was on one of them. She understood about what you said, Ron, as far as, is it this house or maybe it was the other house, Echo College?
1400?
No, it was the Ely house. It was the one, because that was closest to actually, because the contractor was involved with trying to get moved. But 1408, was that the one that Co-College was also? So they were both very good examples of kind of the same thing.
So in the Friends meeting, we tried to do our due diligence to further this group and Safe CR as far as people trying to join hands instead of everyone out here and throwing this in and this and trying to pull it all together so we all know what we're doing. That was discussed at our meeting, and she was going to take it back to city staff and city council. So, okay, so that's good. Do we have any announcements, Adam? Anybody have any announcements? I just have one. Friends is submitting another, I'll give it to you maybe. Local landmark, that's for the Perkin House, which is 1228 Third Avenue Southeast. The way this works is we have to submit it to the city. It should come back before us if we could try to get this on our next agenda, because
we will try to do that, because
as fast as we can.
All staff that are going to be looking at it have never done this before, so we just want to make sure we do it right. But yes, we will.
Process. We've got three or four coming in after this.
Oh, excellent.
We also talked with the city as far as our city buildings, Paramount Theater, the
City Hall.
City Hall. Those are going to be on the table, but it's going to take a year before we can do it, which I'm probably not allowed to say any more than that. But we are looking at city buildings. And then we've got three or four of our own that are in the works, including the History Center.
Yes.
So we're trying to go through this group to get as many buildings saved through local landmarking, because it's the best way to save stuff. It doesn't matter that if you had a house that you put on my building, for example, if I sold it to St. Luke's, they can still take it off all these things. It's a little harder. You're going to get more public. But I can only live so long to protect it, you know, so. So I'll turn this over to
okay.
you. As soon
excellent.
As you get it on, it would be great,
yeah.
because then it's got to go to the state, and that takes a long time at the state level.
I've heard that, yeah.
And then it'll come back, so it could be another year before this goes through.
Do you happen to remember how long Grace?
Grace took, well, a little longer than we thought, because it passed and we didn't know it passed. Because I never got a letter. You did send me a letter later.
Right.
And Grace.
Because that was approved by council in February. I just don't know when it was submitted to the state.
Grace was a little harder because our original application, Paula at state, was trying to, we resubmitted it because she was thinking that we were trying to do the church. There was originally two churches for Grace. The big one sunk in the ground. They had to tear it down. They built it on level ground.
Whoa.
The chapel is the original chapel. Then there was the second church, which was no longer there. So they moved it back to the chapel. She thought we were trying to landmark the building that was gone. And her question to us was, if, what's his name, Green, George Green, or is it Brown, Green, came back and looked at the church, would he recognize it as for what it is? And the question was, and the answer was yes. So we read the application, included a lot more drawings, pictures. There's a lot that goes into them as far as, just in case you guys want to know what you have to do. All this stuff has to go into it. It takes a long time, a lot of research. But they're really picky at the state level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that with the CLG agreements, they're requiring that any local landmarking meet the same requirements of national.
And it goes quicker if it is a national, which this house already is.
I was going to say, because then I think that takes care of all your documentation.
This house, in case you're wondering, is the purple and gray, and it's on 3rd Avenue, 1228 3rd Avenue. It's on your right-hand side. It's under new ownership. He's applying for tax credits for
what's the address?
Yep. Oh, yeah. We know that one.
Because he wants to redo it. It's been out of owners. It's been turned into a, I don't know, maybe a fourplex, fiveplex. It's had lease a long time ago. It's been long before they did that in the Wilmington Heights area. Because according to Mark from the 20s, or 20s, 30s, housing was at a real shortage. So they took a lot of these big mansions and turned them into multi. So I'll turn that into you guys
okay.
before I leave.
Okay, excellent.
So
thank you.
That's all I have.
Can I have one comment? And Madeline? Okay. So I was looking at CCR's website, and I've been talking with our director through text messages, and I have to say that we're both disappointed in the light that had happened in Colley Center was put in. I felt like we were looking like monsters by taking down this house, and it did not put us in a positive light. And
by whom, though? Not
the Safe Sierra website posting. You know, I feel like we've been willing to work with you and, asked to do what you're asking of us, but in turn, you know, I feel like we need to be given some credit.
I apologize because we had a meltdown at my salon where I keep all of the friend stuff and we lost everything. But fortunately, we were able to get it back. Worked really hard for the whole week. So I did not get anything posted on Friends website.
Okay.
Nothing was posted. Was anything posted on this website as far as we talked about doing a page that was going to have say this building or something?
On HPC, no. On the HPC page?
And that's something that's future thinking about, correct?
I think there needs to be a lot of thinking about that in terms of how useful that is, but we can talk. I don't want to interrupt, but that would need more discussion.
Yeah, so long story short, we're disappointed in the light that we were put on CCR because I think we've been very willing to work with.
I'm very appreciative. I would reach out to Cindy's here. You can talk with her. Because we don't really have anything to do with the nonprofits.
I get it.
All we can do is do the 60-day hold and try to work.
I get it. And I guess I just wanted to make that point that I felt like we were being cooperative and we do appreciate what you're doing, but at the same time, I don't think it should be kind of made up by you. I can talk to Cindy more about that.
Yeah, reach out to them or if any of the nonprofits cut out, just so they have a better understanding.
Yeah.
I think what happens a lot of times is people get really passionate.
I understand. It's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
And sometimes you can read into things. I didn't read the website, so I didn't look
at it. I can look at it until just now, so my apologies for that.
But yeah, if there's something you're not comfortable, we don't have anything to do with either the nonprofits or people in there, but you can reach out to them.
Appreciate it.
And I personally, I know Mark and everyone here appreciates us holding on to us.
And for always coming to the meeting.
thank you. Appreciate that. I needed that. Thank you.
Definitely do some follow-up. It's all a learning process, so both Friends and Safe Sierra and HPC can learn from those comments as far as how we approach them.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other announcements? Do I have a motion for adjournment?
Motion for adjournment.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Guys, we did this in an hour. Thank you, everyone.